live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
If you're trying to deny kids a proper in-person education, I'm going to stand in your way, and I'm going to stand up for the kids in Florida. If you're trying to restrict people, impose mandates, if you're trying to ruin their jobs and their livelihoods and their small business, if you are trying to lock people down, I am standing in your way, and I'm standing for the people of Florida. So,
thank you, Ron DeSantis. Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we will live. We have unique sets of responsibilities because of the times through which we live. Should have asked Alex for some music here. Some theme music. If the party did this another way, people would mass protest. If Joe Biden's dementia, once being ensconced in his behind this militarized fence in Washington, D.C., that they kept up for active theater for, 4 months, with his soldiers guarding him, all theater, for 4 months. If Joe Biden's dementia had run for office saying,
there's three things I'm going to do as president of the United Squirrels. Number one, I'm going to have the public health leader seize people's houses so people can live there for free. And number two, I'm going to put together an infrastructure plan that will contain a methodology for tracking via GPS units. Every horse and buggy, every automobile that Henry Ford produces in this country. And number three, I'm Jill Biden's husband.
If they had done it that way, even the mockingbirds would have at least have to debate this. I mean, even CNN would have to say, is it legal for him to steal people's houses? But that's not the way they're doing it. They're doing it in a brilliant way. And I want to take this opportunity to say that to technocrats, look, I am really hard on you guys because you're evil. But at least I want to say, you're really good at being
your bodies.
The last thing a fly ought to do in a spider's web is wiggle.
Your kids.
Stupid, Mr. Park. More than stupid. In fact, that was crazy.
Your travel.
I'm afraid we're going to have you committed. Will you willingly submit to forced confinement?
The media you see and hear.
Did you hear that, Agent?
He said yes, Mr. Blair.
The technocrats want to control all of it.
The corporation and the onward march of science both appreciate your bravery and sacrifice. Maybe you could administer, Mr. Park, here a light anesthetic.
Gladly.
The Todd Herman Show presents Tracking the Technocrats.
If they did it in a different way, do you want proof that they're doing it in a different way? I'm going to give you proof that they're doing it in a different way. My friend Justin Hart at rationalground.com, one of the true heroes of the COVID story, Justin, an ethical skeptic, and Kyle Lamb, and Fat Emperor Ivor Cummins, and all the people on Team Reality, and all the people I'm forgetting, are the people who have stopped us from being completely rolled, even though only our side knows these things, which is the brilliance of Jack Dorsey's hate machine and Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook. The way the information is bifurcated, they have set up two separate information universes. Our information is coming from the analysis of public data sources. That's what we have based our entire COVID coverage on, is analyzing their data, analyzing known scientific best practices, known aspects of how upper respiratory viruses behave. Same thing with election integrity and all the other things we track. It's always based upon pattern recognition and being based in fact, etc. Justin, on his Twitter channel, has put together some very important quotes about the situation. Now, this is vital that you hear the end of this, as Justin points out. Vital. This is proof that they're doing this in a different way. Like I said, if Joe Biden's dementia said the things that I just imitated his dementia saying, everybody would be freaking out. He's seizing private property. Because they're doing it under the color of COVID, and I, for the life of me, cannot understand anyone who considers themselves conservative who at this point has any respect for anything Tony Fauci says or even looks at. But it works. Actual quotes from actual healthcare providers. Ready? Talia says his hospital is managing, just barely, at keeping up with the increased number of sick patients in the last 3 weeks. The hospital's urgent care centers have also been inundated, and its outpatient clinics have no appointments available. That's a quote. Next quote, different hospital. Dr. Bernard Kamens, Associate Professor of Infectious Diseases at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, says the UAB hospital canceled elective surgeries scheduled for Thursday and Friday of last week to make more beds available. Delta variant, right? Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Another one. We had to treat patients in places where we normally wouldn't, like in recovery rooms, says Kamens. The emergency room was very crowded, both with sick patients who needed to be admitted. Is it Delta Plus? Because there's a Lambda variant coming. Is that what this is? Continuing. In California, several hospitals have set up large surge tents outside their emergency departments to accommodate and treat patients. Even then, the LA Times reports this week, emergency departments had standing room only, and some patients had to be treated in hallways. This got to be Lambda. Because Tony Fauci has said that Lambda is not only flesh-eating, it will steal your house before Joe Biden gets to it. Continuing. In Fenton, Missouri, SSM Healthcare St. Clair Hospital has opened its emergency overflow wing, as well as its outpatient centers and surgical holding centers, to make more beds available to patients who need them. Nurses are being pulled from all floors to care for them. Another one. It's making their pre-existing conditions worse, she says. More and more patients are needing mechanical ventilation due to respiratory failure. Another one. From Laguna Beach to Long Beach, emergency rooms were struggling to cope with the overwhelming cases and had gone into diversion mode, during which ambulances are set to other hospitals. Another hospitals across the country are sending away ambulances, flying in nurses from out of state and not letting children visit their loved ones for fear they'll spread. Others are canceling surgeries and erecting tents in their parking lots. Triage for the hordes of patients. Another one. There's a bit of a feeling of being in trenches. We're really battling these infections to try to get them under control, McKennell said. We're still not sure if this is going to continue. And another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and another. And guess where these are from? 2018. Those quotes are from 2018. They didn't seize private property. They didn't lock down. Your friends who are terrified weren't terrified because they weren't told to be terrified. There was no clearly aligned media coverage on this. Does anyone doubt me when I point out that the mockingbirds have been of all one flavor in this? Whatever Fauci says is the truth. Debbie Walensky has just seized people's houses and no one noticed because they're doing it differently. So we need to do it differently, guys. We cannot respond to these new tactics with the same old conservative response. We need different responses for different times. My wife and I are making a decision about the family. And it's a decision I never thought I'd make. But my wife said something really wise. She said, Todd, you are still thinking like America is normal. You are still thinking of America that was. We are not that country anymore. This is the hardest thing for people to realize. Fighting this battle requires a recognition, and a willingness to let go of what was. Because until we let go of what was, we can't really deal with what is. So let's talk through that after we check traffic with Right Way Traffic. So the federal government is going through all their workforce, telling them you will get injected with the mRNA.
We're also working with states to encourage vaccinations through incentives, which have made a difference throughout the vaccination effort. We're taking steps to apply similar standards to all federal contractors. It's simple. If you want to do business with the federal government, get your workers vaccinated.
So that pressure, the announcement in New York about the compliance papers, the announcement in Los Angeles that the compliance papers are coming, that it will come. The city council there is pretending to think about it. They're already going to do it because it was pre-decided. This is part of the end game. And if you can't see that, then you simply can't see anything. You simply cannot. It's a global compliance pass for one party to control where you go. Let them. Let them. Give them what they want. Well, not the injection. Don't go. Might be the hardest thing that you do to not go. Don't go to restaurants that will enforce this. Let them know. Go one time. Make them kick you out. And never go back. You know, there are restaurants here that I go to, not just for the food, but because I've become friends with the owners. And if I'm not friends with the owners, there's places I go where I love the food and I know some of the waiters and waitresses and the kitchen staff. They're not friends. I don't even know their names. I have affection for them because they treat us so well when we go in. The food is tasty, simple food. Some, you know, I don't like fancy foods, by the way. Simple foods done well. If they enforce this stuff, I will say to the owner, listen, I love coming in here. I do. And I know your business is on the line. I do understand that. I will never come back. You will lose me forever because you're not employing compliance papers. You are giving up ownership of your business. They run things now. This is mob tactics. This is our place now. Make them kick you out once. Take a group of people in. Make appointments. Make, you know, make reservations. If it's a reservation place, if you like fancy foods that take reservations, make a reservation once. Make them say no to the party of 10. And tell them face to face, we are never coming back. You are giving up ownership. Because if they can demand it for this, when I just read the quotes for 2018, they can demand it for anything. What about the booster shots? Are you going to do this for the booster shots when the Pfizer CEO decides that he hasn't made enough money yet, so it needs to be 3-4 booster shots a year? Are you going to require it for that? What about when they come along and say, hey, you know, there's some other things that are really a problem. We haven't had people have, you know, most people don't get flu injections. Now you need to get a flu injection. And by the way, we've noticed that a lot of people aren't getting the HPV injections for their girls, you know, so their 13-year-old kids don't go out and get cancer from having sexual intercourse at the age of 13. We need to see that your kids are getting shot up with the HPV vaccine, which, by the way, is a problematic injection for a lot of girls. Really problematic. We've noticed that you're not doing this with your kids. You can't do this. The second you give this up, you're done. You're owned. You're a dog. You're a cat. You've given up your business. So make them kick you out once, but we cannot have the typical Republican response. And by the way, as we're talking about typical Republican responses, here's who to vote for on the Republican side. People who are screaming bloody murder about this. People who are standing up to this. If they're not standing up to this, they can be for all the tax cuts in the world. They can be for all the abortion laws in the world. They can be all for the Second Amendment all day long, and it doesn't matter because they don't understand the stakes of the game, or they're afraid to speak of the stakes of the game. People who give up their bodily autonomy and hand it over to third parties, powerful parties, are done. Don't be done. This is a different time. Part of the tactics, and I do want to congratulate the party, part of their tactics, and Alex, I was hoping for a longer version of this clip, part of their tactics is using this harmless old man. I really puzzled about why did they force Biden into this position? Why did they monkey with the cat? Why did they pay off Mayor Pete, who's Secretary of Transportation because he's gay? Why did they pay him off? Why did they work so hard to get rid of Tulsi Gabbard, who actually said some things that make sense and is photogenic and has a history? By the way, don't make her your savior, please. But you know what I'm saying? Why did they choose Biden?
Watch right here. If you watch the kid, look down at it.
This is Biden. There's a video of Joe Biden's dementia, and he's standing with the family of a state governor. That's fine. Because I think Biden's voice appears in it, actually. So, and he's called president right now. So he's in this. Biden's just a Kentucky governor, Andy Beshear's son. Now, let me just set the stage. There's cameras there. For some reason, Andy Beshear's son is wearing a woke mask. No one else is. Joe Biden, of course, leans over, paws at the boy, puts his hand on the boy's back, leans in and whispers to the boy,
"My dead son, Bo, is watching you. My dead son, Bo, likes you. My other son, he has a pipe that makes you feel good."
I don't know what he's saying. No one does. But he's whispering to the boy. The boy's being polite. Okay. Old man is pawing at me. He's pawing at me. And then Joe Biden stands up straight. And this boy's like 11 years old. Joe Biden reaches down and grabs the young man's hand to hold his hand. He's like an 11-year-old boy.
I like to hold the hands of 11-year-old boys because my dead son Bo is 11.
He's holding his hand, and he puts into this little boy's hand Joe Biden's dementia, hands the little boy his woke mask. And the little boy is the son of a politician. He gets it. He's like, he looks down, and he's like, what the? There's a black woke mask in my hand with old man sweat on it and spittle. And he puts it into his front pocket. His woke mask of the guy we're supposed to call president, but he's running things. He's firmly in charge. Man, of all the brilliance, how could you be afraid of Joe Biden? He's just Joe being Joe. Just riding the Amtrak train. Just Joe being Joe.
Well, my dead son, Bo, was a train.
That was a stroke of genius. Because it's normal. It's so normal. Joe Biden's been in the public eye for years. And I mean, Joe Biden's very famous for writing those words. He spoke in that speech.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away, and now they're here, and I have to say that I believe in yesterday.
Oh, wait, no, that was Paul McCartney. Other thing we need to do differently is just admit parts of our nation are gone for good. We can't anymore pretend that we have a public health world that is not completely corrupted. We can't anymore pretend that our neighbors are coming back to reality. So let's turn to people who are in reality, like this young man. I love
this.
Not
everybody thinks like me whenever it comes to what's happened over the last year and a half, because I'm sort of like a petulant child. When the government tells me I have to do something, my immediate reaction is almost always no. So I really did. I truly wanted to put myself in the shoes of other people, people who don't think like me, people who have went along with it every step of the way, people who sat there and took it on the chin as the government shut down their church. As the government shut down their business, as the government told their kids they couldn't go to school anymore, as the government told you that you couldn't go see your grandmother's funeral and you took it on the chin, you've been crawling on your knees for a year and a half now, you've done everything that they told you to do, you've been a good sheep for a year and a half, and now you got your vaccine, which they had told you was the light at the end of the tunnel. When you got that vaccine, life would go back to normal.
The young man is exactly right. People are saying if we just comply and give them what they want, it'll be over. Your compliance is their continuance. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
Oh, man, I got to issue a correction here. Todd, you're killing me. Please, with the names already, it's Rochelle Walensky, Geert Van Borsch, and Michael Yeadon. You have my obsessive compulsive disorder going into overdrive. So wait, do I have this right? It's Michael Walensky? Or is, I'm sorry. I will admit something to you. My allergies are so bad right now. And maybe it's not allergies. Perhaps I have a nose worm. Like it's not like a ringworm. I'm thinking of like a tapeworm, but a nose worm. Man, you guys, it's sometimes I cannot inhale air through my nose at all. And my ears lock up. And I was at my prayer group last night. This is what it sounded like when I was drinking water through a straw. And by the way, I don't normally use straws, but it was so bad. I sounded like this at my prayer group. What are those birds that can't swallow a thing without putting their, like they're swallowing fish?
Pelican.
And they put, yeah, pelican. I was like,
that's like all birds.
To swallow water. I know, but I'm not a bird, I think. That's my excuse for the name thing. Okay, so it's Dr. Rochelle Walensky who sees your houses. Geert Van den Bosch, the guy with about 20 patents on injections and vaccines, who said you are going to create a super virus. He's now issued a final warning on this. Michael Yeadon is the former VP of allergies and such at Pfizer. Okay, thank you, Space Hog. I stand corrected. Michelle, Todd, what was that phrase we heard over and over again during the Trump presidency? Something about nobody's above the law. Oh. See, you got to come in and display your white privilege that way. Well, why you got to do me like that? Come in with your white privilege and no, Michelle, that only applies when there's an orange man in office. He's not above the law, except they can use illegal methods to go after him. So maybe there's that. Yes, I know. Alex Berenson had a great thread on Twitter where he went back through and found a whole bunch of circumstances where the same people are saying, don't you dare compare the government forcing traveling papers and forcing the unwashed to identify themselves and racially scapegoating a class of people and saying that if only this class of people went away, everything would be good and seizing private property and the media and the government becoming one and the technocrats and the government becoming one. Don't you dare ever compare that to the building of a tyrannical machinery that many years later, 7 or 8 years later, ended in the Holocaust. Don't do that. The same people who are saying that, Alex Berenson went through and found them saying Trump is literally Hitler, which is a literal impossibility since he's literally not Hitler, but that's what they said. Crab Walker. Good morning, Todd. My 12-year-old daughter used to be a big fan of Megan Rapinoe, but I played some comments from her verses from Tamara. From Tamara Mentstock, who won the gold medal in wrestling, and I asked her, who do you think loves America more? Well, she has a new hero now. Let's soak that in for a second from Crab Walker. He has turned his daughter's mind around a little bit about who is our friend and who is not our friend. Thank you, Crab Walker. A little bit of light shines into a weary world. That's almost Willy Wonka. Wenatchee guy, if the government can determine who is free and who is not, there is no freedom, only tyranny. Australian Senator Malcolm Roberts, he was referring to his own country, but it's applicable worldwide. It is absolutely applicable worldwide. On the topic of the 6-1-2021, Lynn, 4 Capitol Police officers commit suicide. Like Epstein? No. Lynn. There is nothing suspicious about that. an FBI that would lie to this country about President Trump being a tool of Vladimir Putin, that would put this entire country through that process, that would put agitators into the Bundy side of that conflict and give those agitators the right to break the law in order to get people to break the law. An FBI that would spy on a journalist and his family, James Rosen. An FBI that would put 12 informants all over four guys to try to apparently get them to kidnap the so-called governor of Michigan. An FBI, an intelligence service that would thwart President Trump's effort to remove troops from Afghanistan, only to stand aside and let Joe Biden's dementia do it. An FBI would never involve itself in any skullduggery, ever, ever again. I mean, anymore. They're sorry they ever did, so they'd never do it again. We should all just know that. On email from Tom. Hey, Todd, I love your show. You are my Rush replacement, brother. I love you, but let me ask again that no one ever say Rush and replacements. God rest Rush. He can't be replaced. But I love what you're saying, and thank you for that. It's a huge, huge compliment. He allowed us to be introduced. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. I was born and raised outside Sacramento, and I was listening to Rush before he went national. That's so cool. I feel fortunate now to be able to listen to him that way I had for the past 20 years through my headphones on podcast. I never thought anything about that style of listening until you pointed how much of a difference it made. It's just, I take it for granted I was driving or doing my daily Budweiser deliveries. Guess I was spoiled and I didn't know it. Anyway, we escaped California almost 6 years ago, found refuge in Lewiston, Idaho. It's a godsend of a difference. We love it here in America like you do. Yes, Lewiston is beautiful. To my point about the email. Todd, I was listening to you the other day talk about the attempted rape at the courthouse and the camp outside. I saw a story about it scrolling through Facebook on Blue Lives page, and I follow, but it had a picture of the camp with the headline, holy stuff that comes out of people's bodies on toilets. I heard you talk about the killing of Seattle, but I never had any pictures of it. In my mind, before now, I didn't realize the scale of the problem. It's just sad that city has to endure that. Anyway, love your show. You and Alex put out a great product. By the time Billy Bones is done filling in, you should know who Linkin Park is. It's Brady Bones. But yeah, I'll try the Linkin Park thing. Thank you, Brother Tom. I appreciate that. Yeah, Brady Bones. Billy Bones, that's pretty good, though. Guys, go to Jason Rance's Twitter channel, at Jason Rance. He has a whole series of photos to document for you what has become of Seattle. I will tell you that this recent this recent killing of the felon trying to attack a family, what happened was some people had their stuff stolen and the dad made a bad decision. And listen, I get it. I'm not anyone's victim either. Just know what you're doing in Seattle when you go to one of these sex trafficking camps. They had some stuff stolen. The dad saw his stuff in the camp. He went over there. His wife was in the car. His baby, 2-year-old baby, was in the car. I can see the mindset in my mind. I'm just going to go get my stuff. The people who attacked him, the two that were arrested, between them have 21 felonies. You're driving into, basically, you're taking your family into the San Quentin prison yard for the hardest core offenders, the gang offenders. That's where you're taking your family. If you are armed going into that, be prepared to kill a person and be tried. In this case, this father had to get away and was desperately trying to get away and drove over one of his attackers. Folks, that happened in the parking lot across the street from what was at one point a world-renowned design and advertising school at one point. I almost went there when I had it in my head I wanted to be a creative director of agencies. That place is now, it is as dystopian as any movie you could ever, ever see. The scale of the problem in Seattle is such that I can only tell you there are places I would walk at midnight where even armed, I wouldn't walk at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll come back, wrap up the day with a personal note next on the Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street. Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, I'm sure you're familiar with the phrase carpe diem, right? I'm sure everybody is. Make the most of the present time. Give a little thought to the future. It's partly what I want to talk about. Make the most of the present time because the present time is the future. The present time is the future. John Mellencamp simply said it by saying, your life is now. Yeah, but your life continues beyond now. There is no wisdom to the phrase of live for the now. Yes, take full advantage of the now. But living in the now, you're building yourself a future. And it sometimes takes a removal of years to understand the now you had been living in. A now I lived in was, I don't want to own a house. All the work and the upkeep and the responsibility, and I'm a renter. You were a fool. But man, you were living for the now, baby. You were living for the now. And there was a time where I prided myself on the fact that, and a lot of young men have done this, there is nothing I have, like everything I own can be put in the back of a car and I can move on whenever I need to move on. And my guitars and my tape recorders and some clothes. And that was my possessions. And at a time I was living for the then, but not thinking of the future. And these are financial implications and savings implications. And that lasted long into my early adulthood. But I think it's the relationships, the moments of relationships. The day, I think I was in a mood, and I don't think I was behaving in a particularly respectful sense. Not that I was being mean. I think I was being dismissive. And someone said to me at the gym, because I'm always at the gym, said something to me about, oh, you're going to do this and you're going to nail it. And I said, hey, that's natural language, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Where'd you learn that? She said, the Bible. There's lots of things in the Bible about how your words affect people. And in my mood, I said, yeah, you're right. There is. And now several days later, I'm going, oh, yeah, there is. Living in the now creates this future. I now have this future where I need to go approach this and to say, I think I was really rude to you or dismissive. That's a small thing, isn't it? Unless you don't approach it. How many small things exist in your life because you didn't approach it then, or an email to which you didn't respond, or how many people exist in your life where you haven't just have not reached out? They're in mine. And then you go longer and longer and you don't reach out. And then you get into this thing called a guilt loop. It just builds up. Well, I haven't reached out. Now I'm going to look foolish if I reach out. My friend loved her father. He's a flawed man. We're all flawed people. He was an incredible musician. And he lived his life for music. Even into his older age, he lived his life for music. He loved his kids. He lived down south, far away from them because of music. And I got a phone call from my friend. She called me when I was living alone in Washington, D.C. My family was still in Seattle and hadn't come out yet. She lived in New York and she called me and said, she was in tears. Her father had died. And fathers die. Her dad had called her at the beginning of the week. And I think that was a Monday. And she is a phenomenally successful person. Never was this person supposed to be this successful.
And she's a phenomenally successful international executive. And she didn't call her dad back for one day, and then 2 days, and then 3 days, and then 4 days. And then she got the call. Her father had died. And in that moment, living for that then, she had created a future for herself in which she had to deal with the fact that she didn't make that phone call. And I had to deal with a friend, bereft but also guilt-ridden, because she didn't make that phone call. We can't always return calls. I told her, your father, he knew how you felt. And so what? It didn't help. Yeah, I didn't want to own anything, and so I didn't, and I delayed my financial future, and I didn't want connections, and so I didn't have any, and so I limited the friends I had, and my friend didn't return that phone call. And she did something, though. She always had a desire to play guitar like her dad. And so at his passing, she took up guitar playing. And in the guitar playing, she built a future that her dad would so love to see. Because now, not just is she an international executive, she still is, but she has a pretty successful all-girl band. And they travel and they play. And they're living for the now, but there's this future. And that future for her is that she will not live just for the music. She'll live for the music and the family and the kids and the relatives and the family. And that the music is part of them and part of her. And she involves them in its creation and in the lyrics and in the joy of living through something now at a level at which her own father never even got to do. Now, as someone who is a Christ follower and a believer in an afterlife available to us all, I love the idea of my friend getting to go on to heaven and say, hey, Dad, seriously, did we mess it up when we put the diminished fifth in there? Because, Dad, we messed it up, didn't we? This is the Todd Herman Show. We're every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. live on the Pacific Coast. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.